I just want to play with you, sister, and build a snowman. I hate your guts. We can never be friends. You don't know my plight as a human being.
David. Football. Football David.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Oh, you just heard his voice there. That's the voice of one Martellus Bennett, a.k.a. the Black Unicorn, a.k.a. several other nicknames that he's given to himself, violating the code that you can't give yourself a nickname. But in his case, I'm going to allow it because he is a unique fella, one of my all-time favorites to kibitz with in pro football and beyond. Coming up for you in just a few minutes, 20-25 minutes MVP. We already conducted the interview, gangbuster stuff. He was yapping there about a feature film, an animated one that that he and his daughter take in quite often, apparently, in his home. And it's also quite popular in my home as well right now, Frozen. That's just the tip of the iceberg, though, pun intended, as we jump in on other animated stuff. In the meantime, let's say hello to the man whose voice you hear in the background right now here in Studio 66, one of our favorites here at NFL Media, hosts Total Access and just about everything else. If you wait long enough, also on Sirius, he yaps. He talks about the Dodgers on Time Warner. It's Cole Wright. What's the poop, fella?
Nothing much, man. How you doing?
Hey, shout out to you, Cole, and Cole Hamels is in the news.
Okay,
just got traded, and I felt bad when last time you were in, we talked about Coles that I like, and whether or not it's a good baby name. I forgot, Spaghetti Nose Coley over there, one of our favorites from Barstool. Coley Mick over there doing good stuff too. So shout out to yet another Cole out there.
Cole Trickle, Days of Thunder, fictional character, but
yeah, that's a good one. Cole Calhoun,
absolutely former Angel.
Yeah. Anyway, so how are we?
Angel, former Angel.
I think he's on the
still on the A-list.
Yeah, I don't know. You're a baseball man.
Yeah, I don't cover the AL West.
I'm trying to tune in a little bit now that my Pittsburgh Pirates are showing signs of life.
They're playing some baseball.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
As we record, it is the baseball trade deadline. We're moving towards the best time for a sports fan on the calendar annually here. These teams are all the NFL teams toiling away in training camp, college teams doing the same, baseball coming down the stretch here, basketball is going to get ramping up here, so too are the fellas on the skates. Oh, October, that's the best of
it
them
is.
All.
Everything.
But let's not jump too far ahead.
Sports gumbo.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what it is.
It really is the best time of all. What's your favorite in your house? So what's your favorite animated movie?
I'm going to have to go with right now. The highest on heavy rotation has to be Moana.
Moana.
I feel like Frozen used to be. Mm-hmm. If you go back 2 years ago, Moana, maybe Coco. Coco's pretty
good. Like those. They're all very good. The one that somehow has slipped through the cracks a little bit, I feel like, is Tangled. You know, the
Tangled,
Rapunzel.
Tangled, very good.
Good
very
songs.
Good. Uh-huh.
For
uh-huh.
the first time in forever. Wait, is
no,
that
that's
Frozen?
From Frozen.
Wait a
Come
second.
On.
You're right.
Hold on a second.
And at last I see
it's probably
the
it's the same tune, different words. That's what it is. They just,
and
cookie
it's
cutters.
Like the clouds have lifted. That's when they're in the boat.
That's a tremendous thing.
They're out in the dinghy. Anywho, let's talk about pro football, shall we?
Come on.
And let's start it with this. Every year I do this at least once, and just about this time of the year over the last 3-4 years, I recognized when Le'Veon Bell sort of broke out in the NFL, in his rookie season, it occurred to me that the Steelers possessed, and it was a time where the Cowboys had Romo and DeMarco Murray and Dez at the height of his powers, and the Packers were thriving. There were a lot of good groups of triplets, the so-called triplets, first introduced as a football term or to football fans by the early 90s Cowboys, of course, the gold standard for triplets, right? Absolutely. I mean, it was Troy Aikman, obviously, has a gold jacket. So, too, does the all-time leading rusher, Emmitt Smith. And Mike so, Irvin. Too, does Michael Irvin, the playmaker.
A co-worker here.
That's right. Absolutely. That's right. And so I realized now in the 21st century, there are a lot of good candidates. Teams have triplets, which is a quarterback, a running back, and a pass catcher. We'll loosen it up a little bit to make it more compelling to the 32 teams currently out
there. Trying to get tight ends in the mix? Is that what, is
I'm
that
getting,
what it is?
Yeah, it would be. Okay. It wouldn't be right. It's not fair, I think, on some level to disinclude Gronk, because, you know, on this show and elsewhere, we love talking about who the best wide receiver is, ranking those guys out, trying to ID that. But ultimately, you need to put an asterisk next to all of it, because Gronk is perhaps more dominant than just about all of them. And so we included him and Greg Olsen and so on, where, that is the primary receiver on a given pro football team. So let's jump into it now, and let me tell you how we rank this. I am legitimately surprised by how they play out, because what I do is, first, Cole Wright, is I rank each position group. So I rank the quarterbacks 1 through 32, then the running backs, then the receivers, then I invert them. So if you're the number one at running back, then you get 32 points. And if you're the last wide receiver in that group, if you're the last running back in that, you get only one. Mm-hmm. Now, the only little wrinkle is quarterback more important than the other two positions. I think we can agree on that. So we give you so that counts for two.
Okay. But so, is quarterback more important than the other positions if the other positions are far and away better than other teams in the league? Because there's one team I'm looking at right now, and I feel like they should be up a whole lot higher. And I know, but their quarterback is unproven. But the other pieces of the puzzle around him are pretty good.
Well, let me count
it
down. It
could almost be quadruplets, not triplets.
I want to hear your reaction on that for the listener, and also you can track down the full list now out on NFL.com for your pleasure. And as always, it's satisfying to me, before we even get into it, that I have done such a good job with it that there will be no pushback from any fan base.
Everyone's going to just fall in line with
how this lines up. Yes.
All right.
So at number three, let's go win, play, show. In the show, the New England Patriots. I'm not buying the jive that Brady's old now or that Gronk's worn out. And by the way, they get Sony Michel, and that figures to enhance the already. I mean, the depth that they have at running back is crazy. At number two, New Orleans Saints, Michael Thomas, the best wide receiver Drew Brees has ever had. Alvin Kamara getting a bigger role.
Put up the most receptions, but is he the best receiver that Drew Brees has ever had?
I defy you to come up with another name to challenge that. Spaghetti behind the glass.
He's had some pretty good. I mean, Jimmy Graham was not.
Well, he's
a wide receiver
tight end
by definition, exactly.
I'm with you, but the best wide receiver certainly he's ever had is Michael Thomas,
LaDainian Tomlinson.
Ooh, interesting. Yeah. The Chargers did cross my mind in that spot, but there was no one really who would rival what Michael Thomas has done.
Before Michael Thomas, LaDainian, the only man to catch 100 passes from Drew Brees.
Is that true? Look at you.
Very true.
Look at who knows
about
his stuff
that?
Today.
How about that?
Good for you. Prepare.
Just today, though.
Well, we'll see.
Catch me tomorrow, I'll be a bumbling mess.
I think that's pretty good. You know what else is weird about Michael Thomas is that we've been guilty of this as well. Is it his name that makes us forget him when you start doing Antonio Brown versus Antonio Brown versus Julio Jones versus Nuke Hopkins? It seems like Michael Thomas kind of
just
falls
up,
by the wayside,
kind of playing,
but he's certainly up there based on deeds.
Well, I mean, we should think of him, and we should think flash and pizzazz, almost like Philip Michael Thomas from Miami Vice fame.
Oh, I mean, okay. Now we're getting somewhere.
A little Crockett Tubbs action.
I think that's what we need.
That's what he needs to do. He needs to go back old school style and have himself a poster, Michael Thomas, and it has to be in like Miami Vice type lettering.
Okay.
Maybe a white, a cream jacket, maybe some turquoise pants.
Well, he doesn't have to carry. He doesn't have to carry the full load here. I mean, Drew Brees can be the Crockett to his Tubbs.
Absolutely.
How about that?
Maybe they can get Edward James Olmos
Kamara is Olmos.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
We'll figure out the details of this.
All right.
But I like where your head's
like
at.
That?
We need to land on something promotional for poor Michael Thomas.
How about we should maybe just try to get a poster campaign going.
Okay.
I remember the old Jerry Rice gold fingers where he's standing and looks like James Bond and has the gold hand and all
like
those
this.
Great – like Sackman, Richard Dent.
MVP, if somebody else hasn't done this, and of course on the World Wide Web, it seems like if you have an idea and then you Google it, you realize that
someone's going to steal it.
That 47 other people have already attempted to do this. But I've noticed that that's in vogue now, is to do current things in retro style. Let's do that. Let's create some posters.
How about it?
Some 80s style posters for our modern-day pro football heroes. What do you think of that, MOVP?
I like it. We'll do it. I'll get
Do
on
you
it.
Remember that, or that predates you, of course? Spaghetti, do you remember – did you ever have – did kids your age hang posters of athletes on their walls?
I know you're talking about, though. Like a Barry Sanders will have some kind of – it'll be a reference to something in pop culture of that time. Like,
yeah.
I know you're talking about.
Like, NBA did a lot of –
Jaromir Jagr. Remember the Jaromir Jagr poster where he was on a chessboard, and he was like that, and he had the mullet in all its full glory, and it said – Checkmate, but Czech spelled obviously like Czechoslovakia.
Very nice. It was all those
pretty witty
puns.
There. Yeah, exactly.
A less clever one was I remember I had one from like quarterbacks of the early to mid 80s, I think, and it was said and it said Field Generals on it, and it was all the best quarterbacks in the NFL at the time, all dressed up like all manner of military officers.
Nice.
I never had any like photo shoot posters, but my room I had like live action like Michael Jordan posters or stuff like that. But I do know what you're talking about.
It was
a little before my time.
Yeah, they all had little puns. MOVP. I think this is really gonna please you.
I'm all about it.
I'm sure you could just Google.
Bartlett
just
has old like school Christian Okoye down at his desk downstairs.
He does.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. And then but even before those were just unironic, no attempt to make a pun or anything like that. They were just pictures of the guys and they just said their name over it. And I had several of those in my childhood bedroom. No, Jack Lambert, Link Swan. That was it.
Showed him like on the sideline smoking a cigarette. Old school.
That may be the greatest sports photo of all time is the Cobra Dave Parker taking a nail in the dugout there.
Yeah,
you can't. People also forget Mike Easler's behind him there also taking a nail.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I have to go check on that one.
All right, listen, we got sidetracked there. So
it's all good.
At number two, the New Orleans Saints, and that means at number one, no big surprise here, the best triplets in all the NFL, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that is an ode to me bleeding black and gold. I think that's empirically so if you watch these guys out there together. The problem is, though, Cole Wright, before we jump in on your thoughts about how these things rank out 1 through 32, is where I sit now, I feel like we are on the precipice of grievous disappointment in this way. The Steelers, in spite of having one of a guy who just might retire, if he has one more Super Bowl run in him, he might go down as one of the 10 best quarterbacks of the Super Bowl era, Ben Roethlisberger.
I believe that.
Then you have the best wide receiver of the 21st century. I know Randy Moss bleeds into that, but okay, at least the best wide receiver since Randy Moss, and in by my estimation, in the top three.
Better than Calvin
Bowl.
Johnson?
Oh,
Antonio Brown?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I would certainly say so.
Okay.
The numbers support that.
Okay.
Right. And then Le'Veon Bell, who I think most people consider, you might get some debate, but I think most people would say 26 is the best running back, all purpose at minimum.
Surprisingly large man, too.
He is a big guy. He's been making the rounds.
Wow.
I don't know if you heard. Like, you can find out stuff about him on social media right now if you want to search him. I don't know.
First time I saw him, I had no clue that he was that large.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, why is he looking me directly in my eyes?
Much bigger, much bigger back in his collegiate days.
Yeah.
In fact, he lost about 20 pounds.
Just the height, though. I didn't know he was that tall.
Oh, yeah, he's like 6'1 or so. Yeah.
I think he maybe even 6'2 and change.
So what – go ahead, and then I don't want to spoil the whole thing for you. I want you to go and look at it, of course. We're in business. So, I'm not
– I'm just giving away free samples all day.
I mean, it's free for you to look at, but I still know the one thing I want you to do is –
just a small taste. Come back and get some more.
Yeah. The Atlanta Falcons come in at number four. I'll tell you my biggest surprise, 1 through 32.
Mm.
Green Bay Packers only reach 7, and I say it's a surprise because I rank them – as individuals, and then I do the quick little math on it, and I don't know exactly how it's going to line up. I was surprised to see 6 teams ahead of the Packers. They, of course, feature the best quarterback, not just now, but of all time, and Davante Adams ain't too bad himself.
The best quarterback of all time.
I'm not having that conversation with you. Of course, Aaron Rodgers is the most talented quarterback of all time. Right?
I don't know how to feel about that.
Fine.
That's a whole nother conversation.
You
want to
say 12?
Another day.
TB?
I mean, he's pretty good.
Okay.
He's pretty good.
Very good. Joe Montana.
Fine.
All good.
Yeah,
John Elway. Dan Marino.
Yeah.
I get all the names.
I think it's, even Drew Brees. I mean, if you want to.
Oh, come on. That now you're trying to be difficult. But you see them. You see nine there. Drew Brees slotting in.
That's true.
In
number
the second
two.
Spot.
Absolutely.
There. That ain't too bad.
And the one that kind of ruffled my feathers, and I don't really want to give too much away, but we'll go down the list
just a little bit.
But the Kansas City Chiefs. Is it because Patrick Mahomes is that unproven play caller? Is that what took that team down a notch? Because not only do they
How far down are the Chiefs?
19.
Well, listen. Well, how high up are they supposed to be then? We have a QB who's an unknown.
Either one of their pass catchers. You're going to go Tyreek Hill. You're going to go Travis Kelce, and then Kareem Hunt coming
of all
the backfield.
Of all the ones that bother you,
I think they could be extremely explosive.
But Kareem Hunt had, from what we know of him, he had a little bit of Maurice Jones-Drew talks about it all mm-hmm. the time, that most running backs will hit the wall at some point in their rookie season. It's just that they've never played a season like that. They haven't had as many months spent banging heads, and so that tends to lead to but Kareem Hunt suffered from that a little bit in the second half of the season. And Travis Kelce is, in all likelihood, the second best tight end in the NFL. Some people would even say he's the best. Although Zach Ertz is in that mix as well.
There's a three-way shuffle at any time. That's all. You always got to give something the top three.
Yeah. So
win, play, show, as you always say.
That's right. But Mahomes, how high up am I supposed to put the kid? And by the way, there's plenty of speculation. I have to assume when they're even going to play. Mm-hmm. We don't know who's going to be starting. I have Josh Rosen over Sam Bradford with the Cardinals there. That's an assumption I'm making, and even if they do start Bradford early on, I can't imagine them
week
getting
six.
Out of
Rosen's. It'll be his by week six.
What's the point of rolling with one of these mediocre?
They're paying him a lot of money. That's why they might want to roll with them.
I don't care.
Is it $20 million Sam Bradford's getting paid? But the 17 over 19 is. I don't. Maybe you don't want to give anything.
No. Give
okay,
away.
The Colts are coming in at 17, and the Chiefs at 19. I feel like Andrew Luck gets a few extra points just because he's Andrew Luck.
How dare you?
No offense to Andrew Luck or Andrew Luck fans or Colts faithful, but I just think Andrew Luck, since he first came into the league, and he's a very talented quarterback. This we know, but I think he's been just a skosh overrated. He's put on a pedestal from very early on. And I just think it's been tough for him to live up to all those expectations. We haven't seen them.
I agree. And
I have led the
charge of cynicism against Andrew Luck. I have spoken out about this. In fact, I don't want to get into a whole race thing, but I've said for a number of years now, since Cam Newton really started to break out in what ended up being his MVP season.
Yeah.
I just threw this out as a thought experiment.
Okay.
What if you flipped the colors of the two men? What if Cam Newton were a white man and vice versa? If Cam Newton, the description is Cam Newton, all he does is win. He wins he wins a lot of games.
Won 11 games last year.
I mean, his whole career's been marked by being a winner.
Victorious.
Andrew Luck gets a little loose, as dominant as he has been and as exciting as he is and everything else, gets a little loose with taking care of the ball on occasion.
Turns it over.
How would those two things be received if you flipped the scripts on the two of them? I mean,
interesting scenario.
Cam Newton is, as I always say, is going to the Hall of Fame. It's just a matter of time now. So long as he hangs in for a decade's worth of football, his numbers are beyond reproach.
Sure.
The greatest rookie season a quarterback has ever had in the NFL. His MVP season, 15-1. Reminder, throwing the ball to Philly Brown and Ted Ginn Jr.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Not to take anything away from Ted Ginn Jr. and Philly Brown, but when Cam put up the kind of numbers he put up, I mean, those were pretty eye-popping.
So, I mean, yeah, but Andrew Luck, though, I mean, certainly based on his deeds and his the division crowns when healthy, he's taken the Colts to and everything else, I certainly have to try and apply a little bit of optimism there. All the best to him as he's taken a full year away from the game, basically.
Yeah.
Let's see if he can elevate that team. Could be a nice little story there. I've been hearing some whispers from people who know what they're talking about who say the Colts are not going to be half bad. They just so happen to be in one of the more
tough
brutal divisions.
Yeah, they're the fourth best team in their division. Yeah. I don't know how they feel about that, but
You know who they might jump over, though? The Tennessee Titans.
I don't know.
I've been hearing whispers about depth or lack thereof down in Nashville, and that's some real concerns. And Mariota was not good in 2017. Go back.
Malcolm Butler looked good at practice the other day, though.
That's true.
I don't know if you saw that.
That's true. Spaghetti, you want to weigh in on something here? What jumps out at you?
Yeah, I think overall, I just think that there is a heavy weight on the quarterbacks. I think that kind of goes to what you were saying about the Chiefs, because there are. When I think triplets, I think of like just the overall how good they are as a package. And, like, yeah, would Aaron Rodgers outweigh maybe some receivers and running backs? Would I rather have him over a pairing of a receiver and running back? Like, sure, quarterback's more important. I get what you were trying to do there. But there are some, like, you have the Panthers pretty high, but I'd much rather have the Rams triplets than have just Cam Newton. You know what I'm saying? I think that's where you lose me, where, like, there are some, I think that just the triple overall, some are stronger than just like the strength of the one quarterback.
Well, you wouldn't be getting I hear you, Cam Newton, but yeah, that's the math of it. Cam Newton is better than Jared Goff.
But I'd rather still have the Rams 3 than have the Panthers 3.
That's a great debate. Who would you rather have, Cole Wright? Rather have Cam, Greg Olsen coming off of injury and getting up there a little bit, but still last time we saw him, the favorite target of number one there. And Christian McCaffrey, who
a little sweet.
21st century kind of hybrid back, catches as well as he runs the ball, but he did show towards the end of the year he never got even close to 20 carries, but he did transcend 20 touches a game. Now they're talking about 25 a game.
Yeah.
Jonathan Stewart out. We'll see how that all plays out in Carolina. I
25
hear what
touches
saying,
for
spaghetti.
Christian McCaffrey. That's a lot.
I think what
Gurley's the only guy you prefer, right? I mean, Gurley's the only one of the three you would want by position.
I'd rather have, receiver.
You'd rather have Brandon Cooks than Greg Olsen?
Without a doubt.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And I don't think Jared Goff is that far off Cam Newton. I think it's just how much the gap between the two quarterbacks, I think that's pretty much the math you're doing. Like, same thing with
Packers. There's a gap between Goff and Cam Newton.
Like,
not to take anything away from Jared Goff.
I agree.
Because he's made unbelievable strides.
I totally agree. There's a gap, but I think it's like you could live with that gap if your running back and receiver are strong enough, and I think the triplet overall is much better than the
Here's some cynicism for you. And I am in Los Angeles. It's a fun story for us to be close to if the Chargers and the Rams are both as good as everybody seems to be thinking they're going to be this year. But just let me say this. Mm-hmm. That it's of course, like we've said all summer long, it's so easy right now to make a positive case for almost every single team. Almost
every team. Hope springs eternal.
You could kind of talk yourself into like, yeah, maybe they're going to be a couple of outliers to that, but a couple exceptions that prove the rule. But for the most part, almost every team is kind of in or out. Ooh, I like what they did there. Ooh, that could work out. And all this coach speak about best shape of his career, and he's never looked so good, and this guy gets it this year. But Jared
they brought
Goff,
Tony Robbins in.
For what it's worth, right? Exactly right. Yeah,
they're fired.
Guys really seem to respond to what he had to say. I think this is a positive step for our organization.
Sure,
all that shit.
Sure, exactly.
Jared Goff played well last year. They also played a soft schedule last year. The NFC West suddenly vanished on them. Oh. The foes that were there to oppose them. And yes, Sean McVay was great. But to say that you don't know how much worse that Jared Goff isn't that much of a drop off from Cam Newton. Kind of goes to my point. Cam Newton is dominant, and whatever you put around him, that team keeps on going to the playoffs. Is that Ron Rivera or is that one?
But what I'm saying is Jared Goff doesn't hurt. He's not a negative. He doesn't hurt your team. If anything, he's getting better each season. So that's why I'm okay with having Goff and having Gurley and Cook, who I think are great, as opposed to the skill position players in the Panthers. Same thing goes for, I think, the Chiefs. If Mahomes is league average, you have two A-level skill players. I'd rather have their skill players on the Chiefs and the Packers.
Boy, oh boy, see? So there's some bright-eyed optimism for you. I'm surprised you're not upset about your gents there, Spaghetti being at number 9.
No, I get that. I mean, Eli needs to have a comeback year, and Saquon's a rookie, so he's still unknown. Even though I think he's going to be good, he's still an unknown. There are some teams I'd have below them that you have them above on your list, but I think there are some teams you have behind the Giants that I probably would put ahead of the Giants. So
name one.
I think the Rams.
Okay, go with the Rams. A lot of confidence in 16 there.
Texans, too, potentially. Like, if Deshaun Watson's an MVP candidate and
he's a hard one to judge.
You're not feeling me, though, on the Chiefs?
Chiefs
way too far down,
I know,
huh?
I think the Chiefs would be way higher.
I mean, they could be a hornet's nest if things go their way.
The Redskins and Colts should not be ahead. I think, strangely enough, the Browns are pretty low, too. If you want to put Josh Gordon as the guy, I think they could be better than where they're slotted. There's a couple that are low. Again, I think it comes back to how much you weigh on the quarterback.
I was surprised by how low Cleveland was, but that being said, they were ahead of what,
Buccaneers
10 teams?
Buccaneers way too high.
Yeah.
Well, Mike Evans. Yeah, but Mike Evans is for real. I like Ronald Jones a lot. And Jameis, if you just go over the numbers, and I know that the eye test is different than what the numbers tell you, his completion percentage is poor, and he throws a lot of picks. They're kind of old school kind of numbers. They're kind of like early 90s kind of QB numbers. Yeah. But, you know, that 28-18 is kind of what he is. You know, he's very productive. He's just a gambler a little bit. He's a gunslinger kind of a guy.
They won five games last year, right?
Defense was crummy.
Yeah, yeah.
Anywho, fun times. Good to see you, Cole.
Always.
Right?
Always.
I got to cut it short here because the main event has arrived here. Like I say, one of my very favorite guys in all the NFL. Let's kibitz with him right now. It's Martellus Bennett. What's the weirdest conversation you've had in the huddle?
So Martellus Bennett played with the Giants. I was in a game late with Martellus Bennett. And we get in the huddle and I call a play. And I'm about to – I tell them what the play is. There was a TV timeout. So we're kind of just hanging out. And he's like, hey, man, you know what? I wish I could have seen you more this year. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? I wish we could have hung out, you know, because I don't know if I'm going to be here this year or after this year because we weren't very good. And I was a starting tight end and we kind of sucked. And I'm probably not going to be here. I wish we could have hung out more. I'm like, oh, all right, dude, cool, sounds good. Break. And then I throw the ball to him and then he's all excited and he comes back and he's like trying to rag on Eli. Like, oh, Eli didn't throw me the ball enough. And I'm like, the whole thing.
Well, there you hear a little story about the man seated to my immediate left. That story issued, of course, by David Carr, handsome devil, one-time first overall pick of the Houston Texans. And, of course, he was talking about Martellus Bennett. How are you, fella?
I'm doing great. I actually like David Carr because it was interesting that I'm from Houston. I actually wore a David Carr jersey to school.
No way. Did you tell him that?
Yeah, that's why I wish I could have hung out with him. Like, he was like a legend in Houston. Good reasons and bad reasons now. But, I was a fan. He's like, there, the Houston expansion team. And, I mean, like, I used to have his jersey and Andre Johnson's jersey. Andre Johnson used to come to my basketball games in high school.
You're kidding.
Yeah, so it was like, it's kind of cool.
What a funny, weird thing. And here I am. See, I'm a cynic because when he told that story, David Carr, I said, wake up, man. Martellus Bennett was just trying to dupe you into throwing him passes, but in fact, it came from a sincere place.
He did throw him. It was a Carolina Panthers game, I think he's talking about. He threw me the ball like five times, probably because I was a check down, but.
But Eli didn't throw you the ball nearly as much as David Carr did.
No, I was just trying. I was always taught to give the quarterback a little sugar so that you could get the ball a little bit more. Like, oh, you're doing great. Like, yeah.
See, I was right then. You were. He's a sucker, but not Damashek. I'm on to your
I love Eli. Eli is one of my favorite quarterbacks.
Is that right?
Eli got me a bonus one time.
How so?
I needed one more touchdown catch and to get my bonus. It was like getting toward the end of the year, and I told him. He was like, why do you waste so long to tell me? And then they called his play and he switched the spot of like me.
Wait, in the huddle you told him this?
I told him on like the sideline, like before the game, you know, whatever. And then he was like, in the huddle he switched the spots of me and Vic, and I got a touchdown. And it was for my bonus.
That's marvelous.
And he was like, nah, you could pay me. And I was like, nah. I'll never forget that. He did that for me. That was great.
So there was no VIG. You didn't throw anything back to Eli for the effort there. Huh?
Nah, he trusted me. He's like, oh, you should probably score right here. And he threw me the ball. I want to say it was against the Saints.
I have so many things I want to kibitz with you about Martellus Bennett. I've long found you, and I'm not alone in this, to be perhaps not just the most interesting man in the NFL world, but one of the most interesting men in the world, period. And you have a new – even in the middle of your career, in your prime, you were always writing, you were creating. Now you've got an animated series coming out. Tell us about it. It's The Fantastical Adventures of AJ.
Yeah, I mean, this new series is something I started working on while plan, so it took me almost twice as long to get it done because of football, and I finally was able to finish it up. So now I've got released the first episode to the world, and I'm shopping around to get, you know, find somebody want to buy some of the projects and the other ones I've written. So this is just like the beginning, because no one wants to let you animate anything until you animate something. It's almost the same as like building a building. You could draw all these great plans for building a building, but nobody wants to let you build a building until you build a building. So you got to find someone to let you build the first building, or you just go somewhere and build the building yourself.
Huh? I hear you. Yeah, that is it is bad. It's a, well, you know how it is too. I bet you that you now don't have to pay for nearly as many meals as you used to have to when you didn't have as much money as you have now, right?
Bro, it's so great.
It's great for you.
Yeah, we went somewhere. I told my wife we were in Cannes. I was in Cannes on the creativity.
Even in Cannes, they buy you your meals.
It was a creativity festival, and I told my wife, I was like, I don't think I'll use my wallet since I've been here. It's the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, sounds all right. Yeah. I hope something. When's it my turn? That's what I want to know. When do I get to live that kind of life? And by the way, so the fantastical adventures of AJ about backup star of the Philadelphia Eagles, AJ Feely. Is that, am I reading that right?
Did I play with AJ?
I don't know.
That's the kicker, right? Or is the quarterback?
Who's the QB guy?
There's two. Who's the Jeff Feely? Who's the other Feely?
Jay Feely.
Jay
right,
Feely,
yeah.
Right. Oh, but
this isn't about either one of them.
Nah, so AJ, it started based on my daughter, Austin Jett Rose is her name. We call her Jett. But I wanted her to have a character that looked like her that she could relate to. And first it started with the books. And then I was like, oh, she should see herself in technology. Technology is going to be a huge thing. So then I started making the interactive book apps and other ones that I'm working on. And then watching the television, it's just like, oh, she should be able to see herself on the television screen. I can't believe they canceled Doc McStuffins. She was one of the best shows on television. She was a little girl who was a doctor and a mom.
I didn't realize that had been canceled.
And her
mom
was a doctor, too. That's two black doctors on one television show. When have you ever seen that before?
And now it's off the air. I didn't even notice that they had removed it.
Yeah, probably because it's two black doctors.
Well, let me tell you something. We watch them all in my house.
I know, I'm just saying, yeah.
In the 21st century, I dare say there's not one animated movie I haven't seen.
Oh, definitely.
Much.
You have to watch them all.
And I've seen all the shows, too. Right now, PJ Masks is very popular.
Oh, PJ Cat. I'm Catboy all the time.
You're Catboy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Gecko, but I think Owlette has the best powers.
Yeah, my daughter always wants to be Owlette. Mm-hmm. So she used to be Catboy because she has super fast speed, and then she got over to super fast speed.
We have also been watching my little girl is especially obsessed by Frozen lately. I assume you've taken that one in.
Yeah, it's a terrible movie.
It's exactly right. Yeah. Right? Because
great music, though.
What's your issue with it? I'll tell you mine after you tell me yours.
Well, from the point that Elsa looks like Beyonce in the movie, one of my biggest things about it is there's not one single black person in Arendelle.
Yeah, that's true. I hadn't noticed
there's
that.
There's not one in Arendelle. So, I was like, dang, not one brother made it to Arendelle? Where's Arendelle at? Two, I don't like the fact that, I don't like the way Anna was so caught up with finding the way she was going after the boy, trying to make him right the whole time. And, it was just...
That was embarrassing for her. She traded her dignity for a man.
Yeah, she was like swipe. It was like meeting somebody up after they swipe right on Tinder.
But that's right. But she may as well have been on her cell phone. You're right about that.
Oh, that's so great how you can finish my sandwiches.
But you know what
the
you're
music
getting
was
at?
Great, though.
Elsa and Anna, what you're talking about is they both have emotional issues. Why do they have emotional problems? Because of their terrible parents. You're a parent. Can't you see? Can you imagine if your little girl was like, hey, I can shoot ice. I can't completely control it. And then your dad was like, well, we only have one choice then. We have to lock you in a room for all of your minor years until you're 18. You're locked in this room. Well, wait a second. What about Anna then? Can't Anna come in and hang out with her sister? Nope. Not allowed to see. But you don't tell Anna, why she can't hang out with her sister?
Yeah, and now Anna's always there like, do you want to build a snowman? And it's just like, no, I don't want to build a snowman.
No,
I hate you.
Go away from my door. Why?
I just want to play with you, sister, and build a snowman. I hate your guts. We can never be friends. You don't know my plight as a human being.
It's an outrage. Yeah. And, of course, also, as soon as she shoots that ice the first time, then the father's like, I know what we have to do. And they take her off to see a troll man. And the little troll man's like, well, you got to keep her away from other people. And the parents are like, okay, I guess the troll knows it all. We'll just go with that, and we'll keep our two children separated for their formative years.
Well, I don't know about the troll man, because one time I did take my daughter to see a troll man, so I kind of get that part of the parents.
where can I find this troll man if I have any big questions?
You don't find them, they find you.
Oh, okay. All right. But yes,
when a student is ready, the teacher will appear.
The troll's going to roll out. Yeah. Speaking of the mystical.
The one thing about Frozen, though. What else I didn't like about Frozen? What I did like about Frozen was the music. The music was incredible.
It's good. It's very good.
I mean, even Olaf, the whole idea of him wanting to feel summer and him being
in summer.
Yeah, did a great job.
Very funny.
Yeah, Olaf was funny.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah. Listen, the picture is fine, but also the other thing is too, Elsa, if only her old man would have said to her early on, like, let's work on this magic thing you have because it's potentially really cool. Instead, she's shut into a room, and then in like 2 minutes at the end of the movie, she just figures it all out.
Finding out your kid could dunk at 7 and being like, you can't play basketball.
We can't have that. That ball could fall on one of your siblings' heads. Forget that. That's over with.
If I find out my kid could give ice, first thing, I'm going to put that to use, right? Oh, the ice cream is melting. Elsa, you know how they usually call you to find a remote?
That's right.
Now, hey, Elsa, I need ice. There
so
you go.
So many fun things you could do.
Yeah, you're getting better. You're getting better. Let's build an igloo. Like, whatever you want to do. But nah.
I could go another 20 minutes about that, but a couple of things real quick before you get out of here. See, this is just the tip of the iceberg for us. Ooh. Fitting.
Yeah, I see what you did.
Talking about ice and everything. Yeah. I didn't even try. It just happened, see? Mm-hmm. But speaking of mystical stuff, this is a big debate that I've been having lately.
Okay.
Who would win in a fight, a witch or a vampire?
This fight has happened on several occasions, I believe. I'm pretty sure I've seen a witch fight a vampire before.
Who wins?
True Blood.
Oh.
Yeah, it depends how old depends how old the vampire is. Because the older the vampire is, the more seniority he has and the stronger it is. And it depends on what level witch she is, right?
Let's say it's the most powerful of both. You know, like the greatest witch of all time.
I'm going with the witch.
Really?
Because the witch is also cunning.
What, a vampire isn't?
Not so much.
A vampire's not cunning. What vampires have you been looking
at? I'm just saying, first of all, the vampire has to ask you if he could enter your house.
Oh, that's true.
So if the witch is in her house, then she has the advantage. She could attack from there.
She could, in her cauldron, she could cook up a spell against the vampire, too.
Well, the vampire, too, though. If the vampire is out, he could surround himself with salt because then the witch cannot break the barrier of salt. So I think that kind of cancels each other out because the vampire can stay behind the salt and she can stay in the house and we'll have a Floyd Mayweather fight.
I was going to say, forget the cobra and the mongoose, a witch and a vampire.
I'm going with the witch, though, just because I'm a big fan of magic.
For the record, though, a vampire can turn into a bat and can hypnotize you with his red eyes if he wants to.
Yeah, but so the witch can do the same thing.
How do you know that?
Because she has magic. She just has bat magic.
All right. Well, it's like this. What if I go like, look at me. Oh, now it's too late for you, witch.
No, it's the worst, though. When you in like a spot where there's a lot of people and you accidentally lock eyes with them and then they try to come over and talk to you, you're just like, I wasn't looking at you. That was an accident. I didn't want to see that.
Do you know Martellus Bennett? You know how Medusa, when a guy looks at her in their eye, in her eyes, they turn into stone?
Yeah.
You know what happens when women look at me in the eyes?
They probably don't turn into stone. They look like they probably turn into cauliflower.
They turn into mush. I don't know what the cauliflower business is. That's how
I just feel like Medusa was he had to chop off her head. But the thing that people always forget about Medusa's head is you could keep it for yourself and use it on other people. You could just pop up with this bag and someone's getting on your nerves like, hey, look what I found.
Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be a nice thing to have?
Yeah, a Medusa
in your hip pocket. Oh, yeah. Take that.
They put Medusa on Versace, too.
Did they?
Yeah.
Snake hair.
Versace.
That's the other thing. They don't, you know, like, yes, she turns you into stone, but how about the snake hair? That's another thing.
Question, though. After you turn into stone, is the power of true love's kiss the only thing that could turn you from stone? Because that is the magical being. I don't like the idea that they paint this image in my daughter's head that there's this magical kiss out there waiting for her.
I agree with that, and that's why you have to steer them towards Brave. Like Merida,
Merida, but
she's Mulan. Mulan doesn't need a man. She's she can fight for herself.
She became a man to be the favorite brother.
Right. Yeah, Ironically, she became a man, but proved herself to be all woman by being able to hang.
Mulan was a good one.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
In fact, I think that's the greatest villain in Disney movie history. That's a strong statement, but that guy's scary. I think Lao Shang or something like that is his name.
Yeah.
Hey, who's the most handsome quarterback you've ever met? You've played with a lot of them. Romo, Brady, Garoppolo, Rodgers, David Carr.
It depends how you want. If you looking for sex appeal?
I'm talking about
the whole package. Just pure looks?
Yeah, just pure looks.
It's probably David.
David Carr's number one. I've heard that a lot.
David, Garoppolo, and then Brady. And then it'll be
Eli. Probably
Cutler. No, Eli would be toward the bottom.
He got you paid already. Now he can't do anything to you.
Eli, but if you want to talk about personality now, Eli's coming up back to
the
top.
True?
Yeah.
His teammates always say that about
I love
him,
Eli.
How funny he is.
Yeah, he's
huh?
a funny guy. I mean, I don't know if he's as funny as they try to make him be on commercials and stuff, but he's funny.
Do you care who Jimmy Garoppolo dates?
Why would I?
I don't know. Seems like a lot of people like to.
Who's he dating? Is it somebody
he was photographed last week out with somebody, and people were none too pleased.
Why? What business?
Her line of work that she was in. She makes movies of some sort.
Who cares?
I don't care. I'm just asking you if you care.
Why is someone else trying to control someone else's amount of love? Right? I didn't tell you. I don't like you. I may not like your husband and your girlfriend. I don't call you and get all in your business. My number one rule is stay out of other people's business.
That's right. You do you.
Build your own business. You can't build a business when you're in somebody else's business all the time.
Worry about yourself.
Yeah. Tend to your own garden.
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. I think we park our cars in the same garage on that one.
Nah. I don't park my car in the garage. I like the people to see my nice car in the neighborhood so they know that.
I know.
I'm balling. Now I'm
joking
with you.
Just a figure of speech.
I don't even tint my windows because I want them to see me driving my Benz.
Oh, is that good? That be, is that Martellus Benz? I've asked.
Damn right. You see this car I'm in too? It's nice, ain't it?
Now your brother, who's another delight, but very different, a distinct personality from you.
Yeah, he's more of a caramel delight.
Yeah, and
more of a milk chocolate delight.
Kind
of
look
both
alike,
are delicious, but like.
But you're very different. He's more droll. He's more deadpan than you. You're more sort of effusive personality, and maybe that's owed to. And I've mentioned this to the both of you before. Do you ever sit around and talk about with your parents? Do you ever say like, "How come I got this exotic, singular name in Martellus? Nobody in the world has the name Martellus, and he's Michael."
Does he feel cheated by that? Sometimes I do. Like, Martellus Bennett on a resume is not going to get the job.
You don't think so?
No, I'm going to go to the back of the list. So that's why I go by Marty. Now, Marty Bennett, you don't know if I'm black, or I'm Jewish, or white. Marty Bennett, I could be a Jewish guy coming in. Now you're surprised. Like, that's not what we expected at Marty Bennett.
You're not Martellus.
And then my name is like, it took me forever to learn how to spell my name. Right? It's 9 letters. All these other kids got like 4. I got 6 syllables in my name. It's just
so you're
crazy.
The one
I had to clap my name out. Martellus in class. Every other kid, John, Jim, Chris, Martellus. Like, I got so many syllables.
Here I've been all this time feeling bad for Michael that I feel like he got the generic sort of vanilla name and you got the exciting one.
Well, my name comes from my dad served in the military for a long time. His best friend was Marcellus and he had another friend named Martell. So he put both of their names together, and then you got this ball of black awesomeness that's sitting right in front of you right now, Martellus. So then, but in Greek, it means Greek God, which is very fitting name.
For you.
For me. And my build. Maybe not my personality, because I'm not very God-like with my personality, although some of us should try to be more like Jesus. But, you know, like, I am just like, you know, my stature, you know, like if, like when I was in Japan, I left
Japan. Statuesque. Oh, you must have been crazy in Japan.
Well, when I was in Japan, I left. They knew, I'm now known in Japan, in Tokyo, as the Happy Samurai, which is a very fitting name for me. And I love it.
What did you used to call yourself? The Black Unicorn?
The Black Unicorn, yeah.
And now you're this, huh? You're like Shaq Fu with the nickname.
That's why I got so many nicknames, because Shaq was my favorite player growing up.
Is that true?
Yeah.
How about that? Have you heard now they're like 20, 25 years since Shaq Fu first made the scene?
The terrible video game?
Well, that was a bad video game, but I mean the man.
Oh, yeah.
Inspired
it. Yeah.
Shaquille. Now there are a lot of guys in sports and outside of it as well named Shaquille. And if you ask them, their parents like Shaquille O'Neal and they named a child after because that was not an existent name.
If I meet a kid named Martellus, he's damn sure he ain't mine, but he's definitely named after me.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. I wonder if there are fans out there, I don't know, Patriots fans or whomever, who are like, Martellus, let's go with that.
I don't think I spent enough time in one location to have fans like that. I was a nomadic football player. I didn't really have a home. You know, I was like, I always tell people, I was a lily pad floating through the water, and wherever team needed me, I would stop there for a little bit and let that frog jump on me, and I would stay there. And once that frog jumped off, I was floating trying to find another frog to frolic my way.
Maybe you're with me on this. I think it's weird and cockamamie, and I'm not sure for whose benefit it is that these guys, Darrell Revis just did it. All these guys do it now. They sign for one last day. They sign a one-day contract so they can retire as a blank, you know, for whatever team. What team would you do that for if you were to do it?
I don't think any team would have me back.
All right, but what if they would? What would you?
I don't really think, like, for me, I don't – like, for those guys, they feel like they have legacy there. And also a branding move, too. You know, you retire there, it opens more door to make money there for a long time. That's where you had a prime of your career. You want to be remembered as a great, because wherever you went after there, you probably got washed up a few years later, but you spilled the best part of the years right here. That's almost like I'm about to die, but I want to make sure I'm back with this old girlfriend who I had in high school. It's really high, and she remembered from who I was, and I want to die with her being her boyfriend.
This is exactly what I talked with Maurice Jones-Drew about earlier this week. I think it's weird that the Jets – they didn't just – Darrell Revis left them and went to the Patriots and won a Super Bowl with them. That's their arch rival. And then he – you know, he's with the Jets. He goes back and signs a one-day contract with the Jets. This is very much like Beyonce embracing Jay-Z after whatever he did on the outside and being like, let's let bygones be bygones.
There's nothing like Jay-Z and Beyonce.
That's a good metaphor I just made. Or is it a simile? I don't think
– I just don't think, like, for me, like – like, some of these guys that do there, like, you know, like Matt went back to Chicago, but he only spent, like, 1 year with the Jets or whatever, so it's a little bit different. But I felt like the Bears messed over him, and they should have just let him play his last couple years. I think he was still performing, you know, so the – you know, and you could – and he could teach a younger back or whatever. So, for me, I don't really feel like – I never felt at home at any of the places I played, honestly, as far as, like, a person there. I understood that – I looked at myself as a consultant. So my job was to go into wherever place this was that needed a tight end. I would consult at the tight end position until they found another tight end better than me, or my consultation was over. Then I had to go consult somewhere else. So I look at every single player as an independent entrepreneur company. I don't think every player views themselves as that. A lot of players view themselves as working as part of a larger corporation and being owned at that corporation and having a job there. I feel like the tight end position is my skill, is my job, and when you need someone to fill that position, you hire me. But it's only your contract base. It's not full-time employment.
Boy, that's interesting the way you state that. And I remember a couple years ago, you and Gronk out there for the Patriots, it just seemed like, well, there's nothing anybody can do about this. As long as you have those two guys on the field on either side of Brady, on either side of the O-line, what's any defense going to possibly be able to do realistically to stop the two of you? But what was it like? Because I remember when you and Chris Long, who's another one of the great guys in the league, in my opinion at least.
Yeah, he's a superhuman being.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, super-duper guy. I like Chris.
When you both went there, it seemed like within about a span of a week you went there, and I lamented it, and I said, this is bad for football fans, because you guys are some of the most entertaining and outspoken and best guys, but I think it's going to get repressed in Foxborough by Belichick. True or false? Did that happen or no?
It didn't happen to me.
Didn't.
No.
It was a nice experience up there.
I had a great time.
Why is everybody always when all these guys leave there, like Amendola, why are they now bellyaching about Belichick?
Perspective. Right, you change your life, and you go through different situations and you view different things different ways. Like for me, I like the fact that it was all about football when I was at work, and no one's worried about what I was doing outside of the field. Or I didn't have a coach saying like, you know, you're playing in this band, we don't need you being in this band because you just want to take away from football time. No, you're not messing up now, but we don't want anything else to get in the way of football. I just think it's ridiculous. So I thought it felt like at work it was work, and then. But I also view myself as a limited-time contracted entrepreneur for the NFL as well.
How interesting. So as long as when you're in the building with the Patriots and you stay in that lane of football, no trouble. Just don't be in there talking about your animation and everything.
No, that's like Bill showed my first animated project to the team.
Is that true?
Yeah, at the family day.
That's so great. Why doesn't that stuff come out? It seems like all you hear about is
The guys used to laugh at me because there was one point like every day they'd walk by and I'd be in Bill's office. I had to talk to him about different stuff. It could be random things. We had this open door policy, but no one would walk through the door that often, and I would always be in there.
Really?
Just be like, what do you have to be doing in there? It's like, I just had to ask Bill something real quick. He's a very smart, intelligent person.
That's what I've always heard.
So I like to talk to intelligent people.
He loves his history, his military history. Yeah, did he have an opinion on Elsa or Anna?
I'm pretty sure he does.
Yeah.
And then you might say, I don't do the face chat or the tweet look or the Insta face.
I that's a bit. I know he's doing it.
I know. It's funny, too, though.
I love it. I do. But
it haven't got old to me just yet. Sometimes there was a couple times he said stuff, and I would laugh out loud in the middle of the meeting. And Devin McCourty would always be like this, like, stop. And I just, like, couldn't help but it was funny. Yeah, I think he appreciated my laughs. I mean,
McCourty, also a funny guy.
Yeah, he's all right. Nah, me and McCourty hate on each other as much as possible. We're in this group text message still, me and him, Duron and Logan and Ryan.
I think, as I say, I really do find you to be one of the more fascinating and funny guys in the league. Who, to you, do we need to, meet and get to know a little bit better because of those attributes?
A lot of these guys just be acting. A lot of these guys are putting on a portraying a certain image.
I figured it out. I'm not naive. I can figure it out.
So, like, sometimes people are like, oh, such and such is great. I was like, this guy's great? Like, this, you don't know what I know.
As long as he knows that the camera's there. If the camera's not there, does he change? Right.
Yeah, he's a dick then. but for the most part, I would say, who was really cool that I met? I don't know. Like, A-Rod was very interesting.
Is he?
Yeah, he's a super intelligent guy, very smart. Jay Cutler is actually very, very, very smart as well. Very high IQ. As far as just, like, talking to people around the league, that's a good question. Like, who do I look forward to talking to? Oh, Ricky Jean Francois.
Really?
Man, this dude's awesome. Like, he has, like, first of all, he owns, like, 50 Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, I like that.
And yeah, me too. He's like this huge entrepreneur. He knows, and he's really smart, real, like, well-read, always reading books, and he's just like a guy that you want to – like, I would sit with him at breakfast every morning just to talk to him about stuff that the other jocks in the locker room did not want to talk about.
We can talk about books at a later date. Last question.
Books are great, though. It's the best way to take a vacation when you can't afford a plane ticket.
Well said. That's right. Yeah, go off into another universe altogether.
Just go to Hogwarts.
Just by opening the book there. Best kind of donut.
Oh, a glaze donut. A really well-made glaze or a lemon
shame. Filled. Shame. We had such a nice time, and then you get the wrong answer. And the last question.
What you think it?
I know. It's a buttermilk donut. It's a buttermilk cake.
Buttermilk fried chicken is the best. Buttermilk donuts, not so much.
Listen.
You're talking about the cake donut.
I'm talking about a cake donut.
Oh, that's like fourth on the list.
Cake is the better donut. You don't ever eat Ray's donuts in a world that has,
if I want a
has cake,
cake
donuts.
If,
what, you have self-esteem issues. I bet you eat green apples, too, or red apples.
If I wanted a cake donut, I would just eat cake in the morning, which I have done a lot since I've been retired, and it is the best feeling in the world. Why get a cake donut when you could just have a slice of birthday cake?
I'm one step ahead of you. I'm not even retired, and I eat cake in the morning sometimes. Either way, what a fella. Martellus, a.k.a. Marty Bennett. Call him what you want, you know. Well, yeah, we'll go Marty Bennett, right?
Yeah, you
we want to keep it, you know, cloaked in mystery.
Yeah, yes. At one point, I just want to be Marty, like Prince.
Ooh.
Just nothing else. Oh, there's Marty.
The Fantastical Adventures of AJ, not AJ Feely, rather AJ
Bennett.
Marty Bennett's daughter. Best wishes with that. Best wishes with all you do. And your brother. You guys are doing great work
off
the field, and we appreciate it, and we appreciate the time today.
God bless America. They like it when you say that.
That is true. They do like that.